Welcome back to HBO Girls Rewatch.
I'm Ave Ritholler.
And I'm E. Lazarus.
And
that's so tongue-in-cheek to do a D. August.
Wait, I don't get it. Isn't D. August just a name?
No, I think his first name is probably something else. And then they did it a cool way by making it D. August.
Oh, so yeah. Well, this is an amazing way for our listeners to find out my last name. Ritholler, no one can say it, nobody understands
it. Did you say it right?
I think when I just said it just now, I did say it wrong, if we're being completely upfront. Guys, we're so excited to be here with you on the pod. I don't know if you can tell, but we are slowly adding more and more photos as back wall. I'm becoming besties with the guy at Postnet, but we're so excited to be in
What did you
space.
Say, Postnet or Net?
Net, but it could be Postnet. With me,
we've never gone sexual like that in this
with
podcast.
With me, like, it's not Postnet, obviously.
We've never gone the non-orgasm
this
girl.
This is a sex negative podcast, and I've always said that. We're dissecting a show about sex and girls and rock and roll, and it's like, we don't do any of them.
No, literally, I can't get this off my brain, so I'm just going to say it, but my level 2 improv class.
What happened?
Nothing big, but it's like, that. Just taking level 2 improv class in itself is a really big task. And as someone who took 5 years of improv, you would have to know my experience going into this.
It's so crazy to have done improv comedy in Canada as a 19-year-old and have Evan be excited about improv comedy for the first time. In what feels like lifetimes, like post-era, you know, after Christ, after COVID.
I have an even better topic if we want to talk about something else.
Okay, yeah, let's switch it up immediately on everybody.
Well, okay, so I think something that's always a big conversation as podcasts is that everyone thinks we're so incredibly stupid, which is not invalid, but because we breathe and we also don't talk in the right manner, apparently.
I don't even abbreviate that much.
I breathe a lot. And that's totally part of my personality. But I was kind of saying this the other day where it's like I'll abbreviate so much, but then sometimes I'll just throw a word in there that's like 8 syllables long just to like disorient someone.
Yeah, but I'm constantly disoriented by you. I'll tell you that. Well, Evan, you haven't even brought up my haircut.
Oh, yeah. How was Chinatown? How was the haircut? How was that haircut / blowout?
So I literally went to therapy this morning. I was in such an amazing mood. We got nothing done because I was just kikiing with her. I'm obsessed with my girl, Jillian. But then afterwards, I was like, I guess I will bike across the Williamsburg Bridge on this sunny day to Bleacher's album from 2014 and kind of go get a haircut in Chinatown at that TikTok place that went viral for giving blowouts for $12 or whatever. So I went and they know me there now. I have a punch card, you know, and they're like, oh, you just want to blow out. And I'm like, actually, I want to cut today. And the smiles electrified on their faces. The guy who gave me my haircut was so epic sauce. He was trying so hard to make my bangs sit perfectly. I felt like a little princess, and it was only $55.
Best deal I've ever heard. I also like, I have this image of you in that salon chair, and you're like, you didn't open up to your therapist at all that day, but like you're in a salon chair and you're like telling your haircut person your whole life story.
Well,
every single part.
The amazing part about that place is nobody there talks, but they are always playing Taylor Swift. They played all of Fearless bonus tracks and then Evermore. That
oh my
was
God.
What was happening.
Because I go to Queer Barber. It's like yeah. 4 gay guys in 1 barber shop on Grand Street in Williamsburg. And I literally told my barber this. It's like every time I go to barbershop, I do view it as a competition for me to be the best person to chair, giving the best like conversation.
Right.
Because I'm like, you're talking to 25 people a day.
You
you're
better
30
win.
I'm like, I better win this conversation thing.
And it's like, they are keeping tabs.
No, because, and I, you know why I got so excited? Because at the end of our haircut.
Because they followed you back on Instagram?
Followed me back on Instagram, but from haircut account. But also, at the end of the haircut, they're like, you're funny.
When you're a hairdresser, when your hairdressers thinks you're funny, you know you're doing something right.
From a neighboring town from where I grew up. It's an
perfect.
Amazing story.
Okay, well, enough about us. We do have such a big episode to dive into. I'm so excited for our guests. We're deciding to kind of intro them in person instead of being like, we talked about you before and then cross dissolve. Don't you think that'll be more fun for them?
Yeah, I'm like, it's actually embarrassing the other way around, right?
Yeah, we're like, and they're here.
I think it's cool. Like, I want to see us try to get their names right in front of them.
Yeah, no. Okay, it's going to be amazing.
It's a harrowing task. Like, I only am so confident about people's names right before they step in a door, and then they get through our door, and I'm like, I've lost all sense
as
of self.
As soon as somebody cool sits on the couch, I'm speechless, but it's an audio medium, so I have to get my act together. It's so much pressure. But anyways, yes, today we are diving into season 4, episode 3, female authors. Also, I realized every single thing I said about last episode was wrong. It's not called triggered. It's called triggering. So I have to go through and rename everything before it goes live tomorrow.
Wait, but that's kind of trigger.
But that kind of trigger. Okay, bye. Bye. Oh my God, look who's here.
Hello,
you know her from Ride the Podcast. You know her from being on every stand-up show in this goddamn town. You know her for also being bi-coastal to London.
Yeah,
kind of her
everything. And guys, she has her show, January 27th, Bell House, her half hour.
Give it up for Mary Beth Barone.
I can tell they're giving it up for me. Yeah. But I know I did not know that was a camera. I thought that was like a fun shelf that you like could hang, like a floating shelf. But I wish everyone could see what I'm looking at.
It's a green iPad.
It's very okay. But you know, you learned something new.
People are always like, we've seen your clips. Like, you must have like a full setup. And I'm like, it is my iPad with a mason jar holding it up.
That's what's really cool about it. I love the use of, and the mason jar has some water in it, which goes into my theory about how all women love to drink out of a big jar.
Yes. That's so real.
What is it reminiscent of?
What is it reminiscent of?
Yeah. How did we get there?
I just see all girls drinking out of a big jar.
No, it is so true. I didn't think about mason jar culture at all until I moved in with Amelia, and now I can't stop. I'm drinking out of a big jar actually today.
See, it's contagious.
I served you in a big jar, right?
Yeah, well, I actually got a glass, but you know what? I feel like this is probably for your guests. Yeah. Mason jar is for family. Yeah. And then the glasses are for guests, which is fine.
That's actually exactly what's going on.
Yeah. So here we are.
Too smart for us.
I'm always thinking.
I love it. Well, we're so excited to have you on the podcast. We've both been longtime fans.
Absolutely. This is kind of the biggest day of our lives.
Yeah. Whoa. Okay. Sorry. No pressure. Don't put that much pressure on me.
No pressure.
Well, I have to just let everyone listening know that I was supposed to do a previous episode and I had to cancel. And you were very lovely about it because I got some bad news. And I was like, I just think if I do the podcast today, it's like not going to look, it's not going to be cute and fun. And I just wanted to bring my best for you guys.
No, we were honestly like, this girl's so nice for wanting to bring her best self into our space.
I have to. I mean, that's what performance is all about. But I feel like it's good to just be like, I actually can't sometimes when you can't. And I feel like Hannah Horvath she kind of originated the language.
Oh, 100%.
Don't commit if you can't follow through.
Yeah. I mean, boundaries are so real.
They are.
I know. She's really like, she was kind of the original canceler of plans. She was kind of cozy girl.
Totally cozy girl.
She's totally cozy girl. I love her.
Yeah.
I mean, of course.
I'm glad we get to revisit her whenever we want. Thanks to Max, formerly known as HBO.
Wait, so what is it in the third iteration? It was HBO, then HBO Max, and then just Max.
Let's not forget about HBO Go and HBO Now, which are actually predecessors of HBO Max and now Max.
And it is crazy to think that these all happened within 5 years.
I know. I mean, sometimes when I look at those, like, the icons on the Apple TV that don't go anywhere anymore, it's just nice to like think about where we started, which was with HBO
right now. I mean, I still have the HBO Max app and I type it in online. I'm hoping it's going to redirect me, but it won't actually bring you to the Max website, which is ridiculous.
I have a lot of notes for, and I'm going to start a podcast about this, about how to make streaming platforms user friendly. Everyone tries to reinvent the wheel. I feel like we sort of know what works now. And we should just autoplay. Please. Everyone should have autoplay on their streaming platform.
Oh, my God.
It's harder than ever to press
a
button.
You have to make a UX podcast.
I literally... I like have had real jobs before, before I started comedy and destroyed my life. Mm-hmm. And so I have a lot of ideas about how to improve.
Wait, did you work in UX?
Well, I worked at a few different startups. One was in retail technology. So it was like how to build like... point of sale systems and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of, and I'm going to write a hospitality book.
Yeah. Which, okay. Thank God.
That's part of my second act of my career.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Yeah. There's so much to look forward to with you.
There's a lot. Yeah. Down the line. Right now, not as much happening, but down the line. Yeah.
Not as much happening. LOL. Okay. Biggest liar in this town.
Sorry.
Let's dive into Girls. Where were you when Girls first came out?
So I believe, and can you remind me the year?
2012.
Okay. So I wanted to confirm 2012 is actually the year that I moved to New York City. So I dropped out of college after sophomore year at Boston College, and I moved to New York, and I had big dreams, and I didn't know exactly where those dreams would take me, but that's when I started working at a startup, it was very small at the time. Now it's like a big company, but
the real.
It was the real. It was all sort of, yeah, happening like as I was experiencing New York as like a 20-year-old. I wasn't even 21 yet. So it was kind of like huge for me.
Yeah, of all the guests we've asked, I got the most chills from that answer.
Yeah,
and like that is so specific. You're really in it, watching it week by week, being like, okay, this is what I do tomorrow.
This is me and my life. And then I slept with someone who kind of looked like Charlie. So that was crazy. That was one of my coworkers.
People were screaming at their... That's the biggest crush, honestly, we're finding in this. Like, people love Adam, that's a given, that's contrived. But as we get older, we're finding out everyone's a Charlie fan.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to see how your tastes change as the show goes on. But I lived in Chinatown when I first moved here, before it became Dime Square.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of history with me and
so
girls.
So Marnie coded. Wait, you did a Shoshana arc because you interviewed and worked at a fashion company, which Shoshana's kind of doing this episode. And Marnie kind of lives in Chinatown / Dime Square. So LOL, you kind of really did experience full on.
You have no idea my Shoshana arc, because I actually, after freshman year of college, I got a job working in PR at Ann Taylor.
Shut the fuck
no.
up.
Yep.
That's going to be big when we talk about it.
I lived it. So I just didn't want to forget that detail, because it really jumped out at me and I was like, whoa, I guess I'm just all the girls. You can't really box me in. I kind of have shades of everyone.
Right.
Well, you have cheekbones like Jessa.
Thank you.
You lived in Marnie's apartment verbatim.
Pretty much.
You have Shoshana's job. And
I'm a writer.
Yeah,
and you're
right.
A writer.
So
hospitality.
Hospitality, my big platform.
It's all there. Did you binge watch it all? Like, were you tuning in every Sunday?
I was definitely tuning in every Sunday. And then I actually did a big rewatch. I've done multiple rewatches of Girls, Mad Men, and Entourage, and of course Sex and the City, almost all HBO programming. But Girls, I most recently rewatched about 8 months ago. I finished.
Oh my god.
Well, I hear you just got an EGOT, so you kind of, that's your own rewatch EGOT as
exactly,
well.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to have sort of like your list of the greats. So yeah, it was really crazy, because there's a few things I've watched more recently that I feel are more relevant even than when they came out. The movie Her is one example, with Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson. And then I just felt like Girls somehow, like, it was so relevant then, and it's just like even more relevant now.
100%.
I feel like when everybody was like, she's ahead of her time, the time is now.
The time is now.
This was the time. Well, society had to catch up.
Yeah, and
I
we're
need
there.
You to fact check this for me, because in Her, there's this one scene, they're in the elevator and they're like, you know what? You shouldn't drink your fruit. You shouldn't have it blended. And was that ahead of its time?
I'm sure. I mean, look, movies and TV are there to like hold a mirror up to society. And we learn stuff from it all the time.
Literally. I can't stop thinking. It's like, I watched a whole movie, my one takeaway was like, don't blend your fruit.
And it's true.
And
have
it's
you
true.
Ever, have you, you've, and you've heard this since then.
I've heard it since then, and they're still talking about it in 10,000 years. Hell.
Don't blend your
I
fruit.
Can't believe, like, I used to work at a vegan restaurant in college, and I was like, I'm just drinking juice. Like, I'm a juice girl. And then it's like 2 years after I left, I found out that juice is bad. And I said, fuck.
That's all you can do is just say fuck.
Yeah.
And vitamins, like, you shouldn't. Like, vitamin powder is like a farce.
It's not bioavailable.
It doesn't enter your bloodstream.
Don't go into my room.
You pee out all of it. And that's what's...
It's
yeah,
all pills
I am
going to
go in your room when we're done. I want to see all the powders.
Swivel like a lazy Susan.
I have a lazy Susan of pills.
Pills are fine. It's a powder.
No, it's powder and pills.
Okay, oh, then you need the raw stuff.
Yeah, but I'm kind of just, it doesn't matter. I'm just doing magnesium right now.
Okay. You're on a journey.
Oh, I didn't know about this.
I just have the pills, but they're for display only.
Right.
Now this is our next segment. It's so fun. It's called Minute to Win It.
We're going to synopsize, real word, the full episode in 1 minute all together. Mm-hmm. Each of us get 20 seconds. Do you think you can do it?
Okay, yeah. And
I have something really fun to do. I just got this new phone case with sticks here.
Yeah.
So what if I put the timer on the TV?
We won't be able to see it, but I like it.
But it's a fun visual for
me.
Yeah,
do it.
I really want to just do it because it's so fun to stick this thing to.
Look, sometimes it's about the experience in the room.
And we've never done it under.
Okay. All right. No, we're going to do it. I'm like huge, like goals-based person.
Right.
So
fun.
You better get your butt back over here.
God. And away we go.
Jess has got a big fat ass, and she's a big fat liar because she's seen Adam every single day. Shoshana's too good for Ann Taylor Loft. I think not. And she's walking out of there without her resume in hand. Hannah's a little sad, but she has too much free time on her hands.
And so does Elijah. Elijah is fully making friends with the Iowa community. He's like, Hannah, I can't hang out. I have three friends to go visit, but I'll meet you at the poet party. They go to the poet party, and Hannah just is not kikiing correctly with her peers, and she's devastated. She's like, you guys, I can roast you right back. And then she does, and everybody hates it, and then she worms out of there.
Yeah, it kind of lands with a thud. And while all of this is going on, Marnie and Desi are pitching their album at a record label. But when the record label finds out that they're not actually together, it's drama. And they decide, actually, you don't meet our boss, Marcos. So she confides in Ray about this. And he says, Desi should be prioritizing you over Clementine. And then she finally puts her foot down right outside the Ann Taylor offices in Times Square.
Literally.
And we can't miss this note. Jessica and Adam get arrested. And Marnie fucks Ray. LOL.
Again. She won't stop.
That was close. We did go over by a few seconds, but I feel like we did
I feel like
good
we really
work.
Got everything.
And that was like a collaboration.
Well, we had Dulina justice.
It was teamwork.
Yeah.
That was really fun for me. Thank you for letting me do that.
This episode immediately was so sad about Jessa.
Yeah, I mean, Jessa sort of can't get out of her own way. I've seen it a million times, especially in the comedy space. You see people who are so talented and you want nothing but the best for them. But unfortunately, they just are their inner saboteur. That's what I think of when
I
think of Jessa.
Right. Some of those talented people in this town also hate themselves the most, too.
Well, almost always.
Almost always.
Most especially. I feel like anytime me and Evan go to a party, people drunk cry at us and we're like, you're amazing, believe in yourself, and they're like, I just don't.
Yeah. And then it's kind of crazy because they do get on stage and they hold a microphone and they speak their thoughts into it, so it's this interesting sort of like contradiction, inner turmoil.
We have lost self-hate, but my therapist told me I have to look in a mirror every day and now scream I love myself, and I'm doing it, and it's really helpful. Honestly, it's so fun. You put a post-it note on there.
That was the treatment plan
order.
It's magnesium. I tell myself I love myself and I can't look at bright lights past 5 p.m.
And you're cured.
And
I love
cured.
That.
Yeah. It solved everything. I don't have problems.
Wait, you didn't text me that you were sobbing 4 minutes ago.
I'm like, do you guys even live together? I feel like you're not communicating.
Well, she can't hear me because our floors are so far apart.
Okay.
I will say our old apartment, we were so close. We had to see each other every second. And now it's like Evan lives downstairs. I live upstairs.
Yeah.
I never see them.
I was sobbing so loud because I was hoping she'd come downstairs, but she couldn't even hear me.
Do you want to talk about it or?
Oh, it's just, I mean, I've said this on the podcast now for the third, but I went through a breakup 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
But I'm actually in a really good place. I'm in a really good place.
Just like Hannah on FaceTime with Jessa. No, I'm like, I don't even think about Adam anymore. But have you talked to him?
No, I'm doing no contact.
Mm-hmm. It is so crazy that Jessa's like, yeah, and I talk to him 11 or 12 times a day. And Hannah's like, I'm actually feeling fine about that. I would be like, what do you mean?
But you know, they're not honest with each other. Like, you guys.
She's doing Pilates. It's no worries.
I want to do Pilates. I've never done it.
It's not, you know what? It's not the fix. It's not going to fix your life. If you want to do Pilates, definitely do it. But it's not a cure for anything. I think people like to market it as like, it's going to totally reinvent you. Mm-hmm. But
I do anything you said.
That work comes within, from within.
Do you really think so? Because I've been doing Pilates like 4 times a week all year, hoping it'll do something. And I thought it did.
I mean, do you think it has it?
I guess if we ask the real question, no.
People need to look inward. No. My whole thing for 2024 is joy and looking inward.
I love you having your whole thing.
You have to, especially because like being in this industry, you can become so like untethered and lose sight of like anything moral. So my whole thing for 2024, write it down, joy and looking inward.
Joy.
We need to stop
inward.
Calling people out so much. It's about looking within.
Oh, I'm really into that.
So
I just read a book, The Velvet Rage. It's all about gay shame. And they're always talking about how it's kind of your default. And don't be mean to people.
Please, for the love of God, be nice.
I know. I'm trying to be a lot nicer.
I think it's, you know what? It's tough, especially like, I don't know. I mean, obviously you guys live in New York, but everyone thinks people in New York are mean. I saw a man fall over on the subway on my way over here. 3 people helped him up. I'm like, fuck you guys. New Yorkers are the nicest people. And we just want each other to succeed. We're just in a rush.
I do have a story to contrary that, though, not to be evil. Oh. But one time I went for a run with my dad around the Chelsea area because we were staying in a hotel for New Year's, and a woman collapsed in front of us. My dad said, keep running.
Does your dad live in New York?
My dad lived in New York for a while.
But he now goes to Boston 3 days a week, and that changes someone.
Well, we came back around, and a woman's being pulled away in an ambulance, and he thought it was a trap. But he also went to Paris a lot, and there's a lot of people that will try to trick you there.
Yeah, I think just remember where you are. Mm-hmm. That's my third thing for 2024.
Oh my God. We'll make an infographic.
Amazing question for you.
Yeah, it's really important.
Yeah.
Okay, you've kind of already answered this, though, but we have an amazing question.
Girl, what girl are you?
God, it's so hard. You know, it's sort of like Sex and the City. I'm just like, I'm a Gemini. So I have a lot of different, like, you know, facets to my personality. And I just feel like some days I wake up and I'm like being Johanna. And then some days I wake up and I'm being Marnie. And then, you know, who's to say? It just depends. It depends on the weather. Depends on what work I'm doing that day. Mm-hmm. Depends on, you know, if I'm canceling on someone or fulfilling plans. Like, there's just so much going on.
Okay, is there two you're like feel the closest to?
You're like, I would say probably Hannah and Marnie.
Okay, so I just learned about this new technique where it's like when you're indecisive, you have to flip a coin and we'll put it on either side and it doesn't matter where it lands, but in your head before it falls down, you'll know the answer to it.
Yeah, because you know what you hope it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So I guess like of those two, I mean, everyone on Girls is flawed, which is nice. So if you align with anyone, it's like, well, there's pros and cons.
But totally. Like, I don't feel like there's one girl that sticks out as too evil.
No, I think they're all a product, I think, of just like, I don't know. I've been thinking a lot more about like how our families like, I mean, this is revolutionary that our families shape our personalities.
Yes.
I don't think anyone's ever said that before.
Was that 2023 or 2024?
This was mid 2023.
You're dropping too many things at once.
I know. I'm so sorry. Keep up, please. And you can take notes if you have to.
Listen at half speed.
What I like about this show in comparison to Sex and the City is that there's a lot more parental involvement in the characters' lives. And you really see why these people are the way that they are.
I mean,
I know. I want to meet Charlotte's parents so bad.
I would have loved to see Charlotte at one of her weddings. I know. I would have loved to see her at a baptism, maybe. And then, of course, you know, we never really meet Miss Carrie's parents either.
Well, the Carrie Diaries were for that.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to rewatch that. I remember watching that and being like, Anna Sophia Robb is awesome.
She is fabulous. I'm wondering what's the next rewatch for you guys, because obviously this podcast will come to an end.
Well, I don't know if we'll say it here yet, but.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's our big idea.
Cool. I think it's a great idea.
I think it'll be long enough that it'll be time.
Oh, you can bleep it though and create some buzz. Like, ooh, don't cut that. Just bleep it.
You're so smart.
You're so executive, like, girl boss.
I'm wearing my trousers today. These are slacks. I wore slacks.
Well, we were like talking. We were like, we're so excited. Mary Beth is meeting about it. And everyone's like, she's a businesswoman.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I like that that's the perception. I guess in that way, I don't know. Like, I'm none of the girls. None of the girls are very business savvy.
Yeah.
That is so true.
We can't look back and say that any of them are
business savvy. Wait, I would have to really argue for my girls to Shauna Lee's Japan arc.
True.
One day.
Well, she did put love important. First, but yeah. She did go to Japan.
She so did. And A.D. Bryant's
I know.
Character arc was fabulous, too.
I'm obsessed with A.D. Bryant.
Yeah.
Bleep that.
Bleep that. We don't want anyone to know.
You can't have that getting back to her. Evan, what girl are you this week?
Oh, let me ask you.
Oh.
Girl, what girl are you?
I am Hannah when she's sitting there being like, you guys don't like me. You don't like women. This is a feminist issue. Like, anytime somebody is like not immediately loving my vibe, I'm like, so you hate all women. Mm-hmm. It's not about me. It's actually about misogyny. What's happening?
Yeah. It's not personal.
Yeah. I'm like,
it's actually people are projecting things onto you.
Yeah. Every single time. It's never about me. And I have to remember that.
Yeah.
I love declarative statements. You're so good at them. We are really taking notes.
Anyone can do what I'm doing. Yeah. That's what people don't tell you. Is that you can do this.
You can do this too.
This is so powerful because you don't think you can.
And then you do. And once you start doing it, you're like, oh my God, I could just, this is my new personality.
Get away with it.
Hey, Amelia, we both have to try to make one declarative statement throughout this podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. And authoritative.
Okay. What girl are you?
Oh, I'm so Elijah.
I know. Okay. I didn't know we could dip into the guys.
If there's a guy in this episode that you're really loving, feel free.
I found something on Girls Wiki Fandom called that I wanted to read a quote from because the description of this episode was actually beautiful and poetic. And there's this one line that I love.
Your
which
camera's
is,
bedazzled.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is my biggest accessory. It says, Elijah encourages Hannah to quit if she's not enjoying herself, admitting that he felt enormously relieved when he gave up his dreams of being a dancer. Like, that's just beautiful to me.
That's on Wikipedia. Wiki?
It's on
Girl Wiki.
Girl Wiki, whatever. So
I have to say, Elijah said that, and I was like, I'm actually not going to be able to process like this line for a year at least.
Yeah, take the time you need with it. Yeah. And Elijah's definitely one of my favorite characters. I feel like his relationship with that like newscaster guy was like so just like. What's the word? It was hot. Very like evocative and also just so rooted in truth, especially in New York, because anything can happen in New York. And you can just fall in love with a guy who's just like, I don't take you seriously. But thank you for showing me I need to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry.
Sorry.
Two on the nose.
No, I wasn't briefed. I was not briefed on the breakup. So I can't be held accountable.
No, it's cool.
Your eyes are so glittery today, Evan.
It's from tears. LOL.
So you're Elijah, perfect.
Well,
yeah.
Just I feel like I would step into that school and then like be friends with all the people and like have to run around campus helping them.
I wrote in my notes, Evan is Elijah this episode. Yeah, I was like, so I don't have to answer this question, but when he's like, I've nailed the selfie. It's time to turn the camera around and take
so
photos of everybody else.
Funny.
That happened to you literally a month ago.
Oh, it did. And then I broke my digital camera by dropping it one too many times.
It happens.
No statements about that?
All I'll say is, you know, we're human. We make mistakes.
Okay, it's time to lean into Lena. Wait, actually, let's cut to a break really quick.
Oh, yeah. And we'll lean into Lena right after this. And it's a state farm ad, probably.
Cool. Okay, and thanks. We're back. Oh my God, we had so much fun on our break, I'd say.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. Yeah. I don't want to tell people what we did. No. Private.
It's private. Leaning into Lena, we're diving into what do you think she was thinking when she sat down and wrote this episode?
Well, I'd imagine by season four of a show, which hardly shows these days ever make it to a season four, you're just thinking like, not every episode, because this also, it said this in a couple of the reviews I read of this episode, like, you know how they do like recaps of shows? Mm-hmm. It just said that this episode, when it came out, probably didn't seem like it contributed that much to the show's overall arc. Mm-hmm. But then when you rewatch it looking back, it's very significant. Mm-hmm. So I feel like when you're writing on season four of a show, you're just like, okay, maybe this isn't gonna seem totally essential to like the viewers right now. But once it's like a completed work, it will.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe she was thinking like, all right, we have to just like fill in some like story for these characters.
100%. Like, how do we get to, well, I don't want to ruin it, but like where Jessa heads next without this episode, I feel like is such a thing. And Shoshana's like post-grad life, like we have to see her really like be at a job interview, like on her high horse.
Yeah.
And see what happens next.
It's a real set up the pins kind of episode.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Everyone in this episode has like, they make declarative statements. Mm. I think that this episode, I think to me is like breaking points.
Mm-hmm.
So Adam reaches a breaking point with Jessa. Lena or Hannah reaches a breaking point with her classmates where she's just like, I'm gonna tell you how I really feel. And then same with Marnie and Desi. And then honestly, like Shoshana at the job interview, it's like, it's all about honest conversations.
There was a lot of honesty in this episode. I feel like if we think about, well, let's start with Shoshana because it's just her one scene. It's like she's graduating and she's like, yeah, I finished late, but I'm still like the smartest girl in the world and have everything going for me and everything's going to work out because I know that post-grad life is going to be better than anything I've ever done. And then she's like, of course, nailing her job interview, which also, I mean, is it of course? I'm surprised the woman's like,
NYU student. Oh, this interaction is so like, I lived in the city for 4 years already. I kind of know what's going on and Taylor Loft.
Mm-hmm. NYU students are so brave and confident and never shy.
Yeah. And I think for someone to try to get a job in like corporate America on the fashion side, I do feel like Shoshana has the right energy for that because you sort of need to be like, excitable and, you know, a little, she is a little bit unself-aware. And I think that does serve people sometimes in an interview. Sometimes you can really step in shit, but
yeah.
Would she have liked Ann Taylor as someone who knows the business?
Does she like Ann Taylor?
Do you think she would have liked it?
Oh, I think she probably would have bought a lot of jewelry there.
Mm.
And maybe like a cardigan every now and then. Or if she was prepping for a job interview, it's great for like business separates. So I think she would have been all over it.
I love it. I like all the vintage Ann Taylor stuff from my mom's bags from Marie Kondo. She didn't actually give away. Mm-hmm. And I always take tops from there from Ann Taylor.
Yeah,
so
they
cute.
Make great stuff.
I know.
And Loft was sort of like the, you know, Madewell to J. Crew vibes.
Yeah. Every time I go into a Loft, I'm like, this has nothing to do with me.
And that, oh. But because you're a city dweller. Yeah. I think Ann is more on the side of like people that live like just outside the city.
Mm. Yeah.
That's really beautiful. Chester.
It's wet, and they need to wear. They need clothes. They need clothes. So I think it's fabulous.
No, I'm glad I get their mission statement now, and I'm celebrating them.
Yeah.
Wait, I love Shosh. What's the woman's name? We never find out. I love her tumbler cup.
I did clock that too. Yeah. Again, ahead of their time.
Ahead of their time.
I don't remember people using those at work. I had an office job at the time, and now you see them everywhere you go.
Well, and Taylor Loft knows what they're doing.
They do, and I really hope that was a branded cup. I didn't clock if it was or not, but I hope that they were given out to employees.
Oh, right.
Yeah, the thought of her spending $24 on it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
What she did with the resume was truly the funniest thing I've ever seen. She's like, oh, you can keep it. Of course, throws it in the trash difficultly. Yeah,
immediately.
It's a really such a good classic Shoshana scene to like really show her ego without the tea.
She's coming into her power. In that scene.
Yeah, I'm actually like to wear her hair like that and be so confident. Mm. I'm like, I wish when I was 22, I wish I could say I was that girl. But my first job at a startup when I was 22, they were like, we'll pay you shit. You're actually going to take on 4 people's jobs and you're going to love it, right? And I was like, thank you so much for this opportunity.
Yeah, well, we're always thankful for the opportunity.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have had the confidence that, but I didn't go to NYU, so.
BC is... in a city somewhere, almost.
What's crazy is that it's actually not. So it's called Chestnut. Boston College, but it's not in Boston. It's outside Boston.
Wait, and you left in the middle? You were like, this has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, I said, it's not for me.
Oh my God.
It really, it's not for anyone these days, but no. We were forced to do it.
And I was sort of spearheaded that. So I take a lot of credit for those that have dropped out of college. Since I dropped out, they're all copying me. So
I believe that to be true, 100%.
Yeah. And it was great to walk out with my head held high. You know, I didn't fail out or anything. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, you also have BC, to do stuff what I hear is like bad.
I had no idea about that. I like hated college and I was like, but there's no other options, obviously. So
I just transferred.
Yeah, that's something people do. Uh-huh. I considered it.
Yeah.
Ultimately just said,
wait, were you like, I'm going to go be a businesswoman there?
No, I basically was like, I thought I was going to transfer to Parsons and then I applied and got in, but I took one online class there while I was like in between and I just was like, I hate this too. So then I luckily got a job at a really small, you know, early stage company and I was like, all right, I'll just I'll be businesswoman.
Well, once you get one of those, it's like, we're kind of good.
Yeah.
It's hard just to get one of those. So
yeah, I knew someone that worked there. So that was helpful. But yeah, I have no regrets. I thought I was going to like quit school and be a makeup artist or work in fashion. And then the company was like, you know, it was sort of tangential to fashion. But then 4 years after that, I started doing comedy inspired by, of course, Broad City.
No way.
Yeah, I signed up for UCB.
Wait.
Oh my God.
So oh my God. Were you learning the Herald and you were like, I love my little life?
I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna totally blow up my whole life and just be a comedian.
Oh my God.
That is beautiful.
Are you looking back and you're like, this is the perfect choice, no regrets?
I think it was definitely the perfect choice, no regrets. Some moments I'm like, I wish I never did that because I'm like, it's hard. And obviously there's so much you don't know about it when you first start and how hard it is. But I definitely think I'm doing like the right thing.
Oh, you are doing the right thing. I can tell you that.
Never could have predicted though.
Never could predict.
When you sign up for Improv 101, you never think like this is going to redirect the course of my life.
Yeah, I'm in 102 right now and it is redirecting the course of my life.
Okay, look, you have to get to 102 and then you take a long hard
look. It's beautiful. I love Marnie's whole thing this episode where she's like, you know what, it's kind of always so funny because you're ever dating two people and you like always prefer one more. You're like so tempted to bring the other one up in that person's presence and like complain about them.
Yeah.
And then for Ray to be there and then get that and then experience, be like, yeah, we can still F-U-C-K.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that guy, well, I get why Ray, it's my dad's favorite
charming
character.
Yeah, Ray was charming by being like, any guy who doesn't ditch their girlfriend for you is not worth your time. And then, yeah, he's kind of genius for that because Marnie is so easily persuaded.
Yeah, I think this was definitely, I mean, both of the romantic entanglements that she's in at this current moment in the show are just very rooted in truth.
Yeah, we all know this girl, and we actually, I celebrate her.
I celebrate her because I know it's not permanent for her.
Mm. Yeah, and like she's really gonna be like so fine when she's 28 or 29, probably.
Maybe even 30.
Maybe 30.
It takes some time, late bloomer, but for her to be sleeping with her like bandmate who also has a girlfriend, and then sort of be fucking her friend's guy who's not really her friend's guy, it's just like. That situation in New York is like, it comes up more than you think.
Yeah. I feel like everybody's like, Marnie sucks. I can't believe she's like this. She's such a mistress. And I'm like, I actually know like 30 or 40 girls like this. And they're really sweet at the end of the day. And they're trying their best.
They just want validation.
Yeah.
I'm a Marnie. I mean, I'm an apologist for all of them. But I think Marnie definitely, she doesn't do herself any favors. But she's doing the best she can. Yeah. I have to believe that.
I always see her as a Rory Gilmore if she like, post-grad style.
Yeah.
It's like Rory, we get to see in
if
season.
Rory pursued pop stardom.
Yeah. It's like Rory's doing really well for the first 2 years after college and then everything goes to shit.
Yeah.
And it's like actually what happens in Gilmore Girls seasons. So it's like something really interesting. And you can also, all the boys that Rory dates are kind of parallel kind of to Marnie's guys.
Yeah.
They should totally do a girls seasons, and Amy Sherman-Palladino should be in charge of it. And Sutton Foster should be in it for 10 minutes.
That would be ideal. I'm a huge Sutton head after seeing Younger. I watched the whole biggest series.
Show. Don't get Evan started with Younger.
I could talk about it all day.
I mean, it's just a really good show.
They reunited my family. We were all dispersed, and we would all every single week sit down and watch an episode of Younger
together.
That's
really fun. Mm-hmm. It was just well written. I said there's young people in that writer's room. I can tell. By the way, they're talking about social media.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell there's young people there.
And publishing.
And we
should
have that in writer's rooms about young people.
Young people.
Hire more young people.
We'll clip that. Yeah. It'll blow up.
That's my big platform. Is that we should stop hiring old people. Yeah.
Oh,
they don't know anything.
Yeah. Not the ones I meet.
No,
They think they know too much.
Some of them don't even know how to listen to a podcast. So
that's so tough. It's so tough to try to explain that.
I know. Both of our parents, both of us have one parent listening to the podcast currently.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like trials and tribulation trying to even get them to open the app.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying they can't learn. And obviously like older people should be like, you know, running the place.
Mm.
But I think there should be young voices as well. Balance. That's all I'm saying.
I have full body chills.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be an explosive episode.
Yeah. Oh my God. Biden's going to reach out. I bet.
Listen with care. You know, listen responsibly.
Yeah. Marnie, they get to go back to the place now? Or are they're like, we don't want you to meet Marcus at all?
I think it was like, okay. Yeah, right. Well, don't call us, we'll call you sort of situation.
Fuck.
No, and then Marnie
sits down and begs Desi to be her girlfriend, and he's like, no.
Oh, that speech is beautiful.
He's like, we need to figure out what you want. And she's like, I know what I want.
I love that. A declarative statement. Very Mary Beth coded.
Very me. So very I guess I'm coded. Feeling kind of Marnie today.
What's your thoughts on Desi's speech?
I don't remember.
So it's
I
like
don't
you're
retain.
Young, yeah. You're hot.
Yeah, it's like
I just remember talented. Being like mad at him watching it. I don't remember what he said, but I remember how he made me feel, and it was bad.
It's just a bunch of bullshit, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm like
hot air.
You need to make a choice.
I know, but those eyes.
I know, and he's a great, you know, great character actor. Love him. Love the guy. But
love the guy.
In being so good at the character, I'm like, you're an asshole.
Well, that's how you know he's good.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
Jesus so. Christ.
I don't remember what happens next. That was something that was interesting.
Yeah, but
this is a starting line for some of the characters.
It's so Wikipedia. It's so wiki episode because it's like this is really a setup for a lot of it. I had to watch this episode 3 times, which I haven't done yet for a specific episode.
Yeah,
just because I kept getting confused on what the hell's happening. I mean, it's because they're not. None of their stories are connected. So it's actually really hard to pay attention for a single second.
The Zoom calls of it all makes it so hard. And it reminds you like COVID.
I know.
Which we definitely don't want to think about.
No.
Hannah would have loved remote work. She would never gone to Iowa.
Yeah. I think what I liked about this episode and sort of the grad school arc is like grad school is kind of like fake.
Oh, 100%. Well,
her being like, I have class once a week. I'm like, then you could live in Brooklyn still and actually go to Iowa once a
once
week,
a week
and be way better off.
Do you guys have any friends that have done grad school?
Yeah. So what I'm noticing for grad school, it's either like really scientific, serious, or it's MBA party every single day. My brother went to visit my cousin her first week of MBA program. He's like, it's crazier than college. They're all like, I have to go to this party, so I'll come meet you at this party later. And it's like, oh, but you're all 29 years old running around with post-it notes with parties on it.
Well, and it's like every other week they go on a big international trip. And I don't understand how that's teaching you about business, but.
Oh, well, she just went to Panama.
I saw a friend who I hadn't seen in years because we were both in Mexico City. I was there with friends. He was like, oh, I'm just here with my class. They were just going out, like getting drunk. And I was like, okay.
Sounds magical.
I guess I'm not seeing the connection. But you're just your classmates. So what's there? You guys know each other.
I think it's supposed to be for networking vibes. Where it's like, these people might hire you one day, so let's get drunk with them. Let's have a really, really good time so you can get a consulting job. Also, drop when Clementine is a consultant. I'm like, the girl has an autoimmune disorder and a consultant. Pick one.
Yeah, pick one personality. I can't even speak on it. It's just like, it's dizzying.
I think there's a real culture in Brooklyn, and it's cool that we get to see this 10 years earlier, where everyone has like an artsy friend group and then that one friend who's a consultant. And it's like, that's Clementine. And you don't always know. And then you start talking to them. You're like, what the hell are you working at McKinsey for, girl?
Oh, totally. And that's like very jarring. But I guess like, well, I don't know. Because I was going to say, I guess we need consultants. But do we?
No, the whole thing is we don't.
No one can like point to what they do.
And I've asked multiple consultants who kind of like own condos in a city somehow.
Yeah.
Like how they made this happen. And they can't explain it.
They're just like, you wouldn't get it. And it's like, you're not even going to try?
Well, I don't think they know. I think that's the problem.
It's defense.
They're like, I'm going to a company and I'm chatting and I made a slide deck.
And there's spreadsheets too. Mm. I know there's spreadsheets.
Okay, that actually comforts me a little bit.
Yeah. What's in the spreadsheets, I don't know. I'm assuming numbers of some kind and maybe some formulas. But it's just, I'm not really sure. I just wonder what would happen. It's like, you know how they're trying to like eradicate mosquitoes? Like scientists might just like kill all of them. So there's no more mosquitoes because they're the deadliest animal to humans. They're trying it out in like smaller areas to see what the like economic and like environmental impact is. I just wonder what would happen if all the consultancies just like went away. I'm not saying we kill them, but like let's just place them in other jobs. Like what would happen?
Nothing.
I would love to do research data on that, qualitative and quantitative.
And put it in an Excel sheet for me to read later, girl. Yeah. And a PowerPoint.
Like, let's do it in smaller cities and just see if we took all the consultants out of their roles.
Yeah.
Just see what happens, like, economically and environmentally. And we'll see, because I think it's worth trying.
I'm open to that opportunity. I'm just going to put that in the ether.
Wait, okay. What kind of autoimmune disorder is it, though, when you get angry, you get a fever?
I don't know if that's real. I think it's sort of, I mean,
that might be where it goes sketch comedy for a second.
Yeah. I also know a lot of people that have self-proclaimed autoimmune disorders.
I mean, everyone.
I'm getting a diagnosis before I'm telling anyone anything. I had a parasite and I made sure that I got the positive culture back before I told people it was a parasite.
You had mono 4 times.
Something like that.
I cannot believe something like that would happen to you. It doesn't feel good.
It doesn't
that.
Feel good, but at least, you know, you can name it.
Yeah, that is power.
It happened to me, and I'm, you know, when people are like, oh, I have strep, and it's like, did you go get a strep culture, Missy? Mm-hmm.
It's, or if so they have COVID, Hannah-coded.
Did you take a test?
Right.
I need to know if it's real.
You're like, forward me the email confirmation.
I would like to see it.
I don't want anyone to get mad at me, but I am watching Young Sheldon right now. That's the plot point of half the episodes, is that he thinks he has something going on.
Okay. Hypochondriac alert.
He's hypochondriac.
Which can be very powerful narratively, but I think some people use it a bit too much in real life.
I agree, but everybody's trying to really make a story of their lives right now. Well, always, but especially now.
Now more than ever.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to Hannah.
Wait, really quick, let's cut to our second break. Guys, we'll be right back. And when we come back, we'll be talking about Hannah and Jessa.
Okay. Sorry, yeah, and we're back from the break.
Oh my God, and we learned so much again. I can't believe we have to cut to the break.
I know, I wish they could hear it, but there's unfortunately no way.
Yeah, there's no possible
unless way. Unless you pay $5 for the Patreon, what we don't have.
Yeah, I'll never learn about that website. Okay, Hannah. grad school, you don't believe in it that much?
I obviously, med school is different. Don't come for me if you're a doctor, because obviously you need schooling and things like that. Nursing school, PA school, all that stuff, super important.
Do you think lawyer?
Lawyers, yes, because they have to like learn a bunch of stuff. But I think specifically, and look, if you go to grad school for literature and you come out with a book, that's obviously worth the money because you've been like forced to write it. If you're going to go to get your MBA, I just think like that's crazy. But this is coming from a college dropout.
That's where all consensus. It's like the MBA is crazy.
MBA to me is just like it's frivolous.
It's frivolous to me if you're already living in a major city. If you're living in like the biggest town in the randomest state, it's like, I guess what else is there to do? Like maybe that could be useful.
I don't know, like go work for a nonprofit. I don't, that's like, true. You know, it just like do something else.
There's ways around it.
There's ways.
Well, my cousin things. Did it because she's consultant and she wanted career change to a different kind of consulting, I think.
And you need it. You need 2 years of schooling for that and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Mimi, you tell us.
If you want a break from your job and your company's paying for it, I think that's different. But I know that's not the case for everyone.
Yeah, true.
If your company's paying for it. I just know too many people who are like, I'm going to NYU to learn to write and I am 27. And it's like, I think there's other things that could you do.
I agree. Yeah, I academia is not for me. Yeah. So I can't speak on it.
And it's not for Hannah, clearly.
No.
The Mennonite.
But my heart goes out to her. Yeah. And she's having to really, you know, I think the scene where she's like ripping her classmates a new one is just so, it's one of those scenes where I'm like, oh, but it's so good.
It's so secondhand embarrassment just because it's like, I thought maybe one of them would be like, LOL. You're kind of funny, girl. But all of them were like, and you should commit suicide, by the way.
Right. And none of them give it back to her, which I think she was expecting. Like, okay, now you guys like roast me. And they were just like, the worst, most severe roast is to say nothing.
Well,
I mean, she literally had to swim out of there.
She slithered.
Well, this is how she left GQ as well. Like, she left her GQ job by blowing up at everyone individually and roasting their ass and then dropping a mic, even Jenna Lyons, and got the hell out of there.
It's giving motif.
Yeah, it's motif. Like her whole thing is, I'm like, what? And she kind of does it to her friends again when they go to the beach house. They all have a blow up where they all kind of like point fingers at each other. Like in real life, I think we all are like, we have these things we'd love to say to our friends when they're pissing us the hell off. And that's the amazing part of this show is that you can finally get to hear what someone's really thinking.
Yeah. And I think. And there's an alarm. An alarm just started because you said that.
That's definitive statement.
Yeah, a definitive statement. I think it's what happens when you just let things build over time. Instead, I mean, this is pretty quick because these are new friends, but I feel like it, you know, it was kind of powerful to just watch someone like say exactly what they think. And she wasn't wrong. I didn't think she was wrong.
And
I
don't think she was like mean for the sake of being mean. Like, I think she had really thought through each person's thing and was giving like honest feedback and maybe a perspective that they would benefit from hearing.
They're so funny too. The Gaysian one, it's like, you are a wildly trendy Gaysian, but your whole poem is kind of a winky face emoji quickly followed by a poop emoji. Like, that's the funniest thing I've ever
fucking
heard. I
would love for somebody to give me feedback like that, honestly. I'm begging for it.
They're all so good.
But I guess this is, we're building to her being like, I can't stay in grad school, which I think is probably good.
I mean, did anyone think Iowa was going to last?
Well, we had our hopes.
Of course we had hopes. But I think you can't put a girl like Hannah Horvath in Iowa.
You can't put a show about navigating your 20s in New York City in Iowa.
Doesn't work.
They tried.
It's like when they tried to move Carrie to Paris. Just it's doesn't, like,
you
can't
know
work.
They're going to have to go. I always get so sad when a TV show does that. And I'm like, because then we have to have 4 episodes that we hate and never want to think about again. But we had to do that so they could learn something. I'm like, there has got to be a better way, writers.
I think they had a lot of money to play with. So they're like, why not go to Iowa too? Lena wanted to flex the muscle.
It worked.
For season 4. Let's go shoot at Iowa by, like, is that Vassar College?
I don't know what's in Iowa, but she has a humongous house.
So big, only $800 a month. Miss it.
I miss it. And then the whole thing where she literally ends it all by riding off with a Meta Knight.
I mean, that is funny. That is Broad City.
That is Broad City. It's sketch comedy.
Yeah. I love when it goes from like serious to like one little silly, something so silly that you're like, you're having fun with your boy Judd, girl.
Yeah. They're thinking, they're pitching, they're taking swings.
It is crazy that she writes it all herself. Well, maybe that's normal, but to me, that seems crazy.
I looked and this episode did say written by someone else.
Yeah, there's like one or two.
Jenny Koner?
No.
It was someone else. Whose name I forget.
Okay, perfect. We'll link her in the description.
Well, I have it on the wiki fandom thing.
Oh, you're too good.
Edit this part where I'm Googling. But I have it.
Also, right? Hannah, go through. I mean, I wish we could see one more class.
You ready?
I know.
This episode of Girls was written by Sarah Hayward and directed by Jesse Peretz.
Ooh.
And clap it up for them. There's a lot of audience participation this episode.
Yeah, it's like Blue's Clues. Yeah. Like we can't see it, but we know that it's happening.
Yeah. Okay, last girl we got to lean into, Miss Jessa. She's almost 4 months sober. We're so happy for her.
Huge win.
It's her birthday, maybe at Chuck E. Cheese.
And then unfortunately, the Inner Saboteur comes out and she does talk back to some cops again ahead of her time.
Ahead of her time. When she goes off on the cops, I'm like, I mean, everybody stole her whole thing in 2020, did they not?
They did. And nobody cited that source.
Nobody's citing that source.
She made good points. You can't say Jessa didn't make any good points.
The way Ray was like, I actually love police when he picked them up, I was like, you're canceled, honey.
Yeah,
he couldn't get away
with that today.
No.
I love Adam being like, and she's foreign. And it's like, well, she has lived here for 25 years. But I love when you're foreign because you can really get away with a lot more just by acting dumb.
Yeah. I mean, peeing outside, I think, is maybe universal that you can't do that in big cities or else you'll get in trouble. But as someone who's definitely peed on the street my fair share of times, there's not that many places to go. And businesses really don't want you to go in there. So exactly. MP. So sometimes you have no choice.
They actively are like telling you not to.
Pretty much, yeah.
So you don't even enter
and they're just like, don't even try.
Yeah. I also love like her little speech is like, there's the closest one is 7 blocks away. Like, is there not an entire movement on TikTok about that statement?
Literally.
Like Jessa really invented the wheel.
Yeah, there's a TikTok account like Free Bathrooms NYC. And it's this woman who like goes every free bathroom in New York City and rates and reviews some.
Look, what businesses maybe don't understand is that you could get an impromptu sale. If you let people in your restaurant to pee, they smell the delicious food. They might get some fries on the way out. Yeah. They might buy a water or, you know, a soda. It's like, I'm happy to do that if I can use the bathroom. But when it's so like, you know, they're screaming at you before you even get in there, it's like, do not come in here because the bathroom is for customers. It's like, well, that's hostile.
Well, they're going to clean it anyway.
Also, you know, most of the time it's just people that really have to pee.
Maybe be nice to the community that you're part of.
I think so.
Love you small businesses anyway, though.
We love shopping local and small businesses.
We love shopping local. It's so important. Definitive statement.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Do we think that at this point, Jessa is like, I kind of like Adam and want to date him or not even yet?
I think she does probably see him as... I think... I really believe Jessa sees every man and potentially every woman as like a sexual being that she could be with.
I know. When she manipulates that one guy, it's like, I told him to replace God with my name. And now I'm the only thing between him and a crack pipe.
Yeah. It's she's got a lot of power. She's got a lot of sexual power.
I know. And she's like the whole thing. It's like, should I throw Hannah's magnets away? She's like, I hate it when white people date.
That was funny. I thought that was really good and funny.
Was that ahead of its time, or behind its time?
I am just going to always say it's ahead.
It's ahead.
It definitely wasn't of the time.
I did not like her outfit, though.
Oh, her little t-shirt? Her Heather Gray?
Yeah, cotton shirts like that.
But what was it, a t-shirt? I can't remember what it was, but it was like a graphic tee that was surprising.
Yeah.
It wasn't Wu-Tang Clan. It was like Run DMC or something?
Yeah, I think you're right.
It was something like that, where it just fell out of character. But I'm sure it's someone else's shirt that she stole. Maybe so in that way, it's like very rooted in truth for that character.
It feels like she's trying to be guy's girl to befriend Adam.
Potentially. And I'm not saying that Jessa wouldn't listen to Wu-Tang Clan or Run DMC. It just, she doesn't usually wear like graphic tees.
Yeah.
She's usually in like a billowy dress where you can see her like whole like ass and tits.
We saw her ass this episode. That was so fun. I wonder if she really had that tan at that time.
Probably.
I would guess, yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, it's a fun little detail they wrote in the stage direction. And then makeup comes in. They say, all right, well, we got to.
This would be fun.
Movie magic.
This is what happens to girls.
I mean, the whole thing, the big trend right now, so people are doing fake sunburns. So again, ahead of her time.
Wow. She's a genius.
What can we say?
She's really a genius.
Also being sober ahead of its time. It's like way more common
now.
Sober
now.
Yeah.
Not everybody was sober in 2014.
No.
That is a big touchstone of this podcast that everyone is sober now.
Well, I've been sober. I'm about to break my sobriety in a few days.
Oh, really? For how long?
I just wanted to take 5 months off. And so I'm like 4 and a bit. And so I'm going to drink on Saturday. So that's pretty exciting for me.
Oh, my God.
I don't have a drinking problem. I just wanted to take some time off.
I did that for 1 month this year and it taught me nothing.
You have to. Unfortunately, I didn't really feel a difference till it was more than a month. Also, if you like drinking and you have fun, then you don't need to take a break.
Right. Sometimes I'm like, maybe I'll do this because I've heard it's been a problem for other people and this fixes everything. And then I'm like, maybe it actually has nothing to do with me.
Look, again, I would just say look inward.
Right.
Just because Pilates works for some people doesn't mean.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
We just gotta work for some people.
I really have to look inward. I'm really realizing, as we say here.
But at least you're doing that. Like, I think some of the girls, they weren't looking inward that much. And if they did, they maybe would have made different choices.
It is like these girls aren't looking inward almost ever. But Hannah might up for a brief second in a few episodes. So we have
don't
that
know.
To
it's impossible to say.
It's impossible to say.
Do you think they're journaling?
No.
These are girls not journals.
Hannah's pre-writing by making
exactly.
brownies. Girl, get your Glock. It's rapid fire time.
Oh my God, I'm scared. I'm really scared.
Scary.
We're gonna ask so many questions so quick. Just say whatever comes to mind. No pressure at all.
Okay, I'm ready.
Why is Marnie mad at you?
Because I didn't give back her tank top.
Are you voice of a generation or a voice of a generation?
A voice of a generation.
What does the letter A make you think of?
Apples. I like Honeycrisp the best.
Is comic retribution witchcraft?
Cosmic.
Comic?
No.
No, it's not. Is there a ball to get rolling?
Always.
Do you think it's fine if Adam throws all out Hannah's magnets?
No.
Do you have anxiety or did you just roll your hair?
Both.
Both.
Do you think Dakota Fanning wants to be Dakota Fanning?
Yes.
What is your Amish bonnet?
My Amish bonnet is probably this like fur headband that I bought. And it's real fur and I'm Ooh. Problematic. But
oh
it's fine.
God. Nobody can cancel you for that.
She thrifted it.
Sure. I always say the animal died of natural causes.
Fuck, marry, kill. Ray, Desi, Adam.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I would probably kill Ray. I'm so sorry, but that's how I feel. And then I would fuck Desi and I would, I guess, marry Adam. I mean, he does get his shit together eventually.
He does. And he's tall.
Yeah.
Okay. What would Hannah say to you in a roast battle?
That I look like the type of girl who wears makeup when I work out.
Is public urination fine when Jessa does it?
I think it's fine when mostly anyone does it except dogs outside my building.
Absolutely.
They shouldn't be doing that.
And what makes you worm off a couch?
Oh, God. Dog hair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're
anti-dog. I don't like
that.
I love dogs. I don't need their hair all over my stuff.
Would you ever be a dog owner?
I am not sure. I can't say. But if I got a dog, it would be one that has short hair that doesn't shed. Because I think it doesn't fit with my lifestyle to have a dog that sheds.
Well, you're at three coasts right now. So
I'm tri-coastal. I live in a studio and I don't want to go outside when I don't want to. So dogs for me, it's not time.
No, I hate to say this, but most dogs in the city are not being treated that well.
No, and their shit is everywhere.
Their shit is everywhere.
It's like I have to see dog shit every single day.
And sometimes human shit. So I'm not blaming people that have to shit outside because probably our society, our government's not taking care of them.
Absolutely.
Dogs, that's on you guys.
That there is a fix on that one.
My famous platform, and this is another declarative statement for the podcast, is you can't have a hobby and a dog.
Agreed.
That's so true. Anybody we know that gets a dog, it ruins their stand-up comedy career.
And so I say dogs for everyone because we got too many stand-up comedians.
Right. You're like, make it end.
Yeah.
We have one more segment of the podcast.
That outfit in Brooklyn. That's when we compare Brooklyn then versus Brooklyn now.
Okay, cool.
I feel like we always already hinted at it, but top of mind and Taylor Loft. The whole everything about the jewelry wall, the tumbler, the whole aesthetic. What is that now, would we say?
like the equivalent of that. Yeah. I would say
real fur headbands.
Pinterest
That's
board.
So hard. Oh, I mean, wait. So what are we comparing?
We're basically comparing like the
accessory
giant
wall.
Necklace yeah. wall. What would that wall be now if we cut to that scene in 2023?
Oh, the tiniest, daintiest rings that like yeah. you actually can't even see. That's how thin they are. Is that you can't see them, but they cost $200.
That's Literally. Always happening. I'm always like, "That's so cute," and they're like, "I bought it for $9 million."
And it dissolves in water. Yeah. So.
I know. I keep going to boutiques around Bushwick and or Brooklyn, and all the rings. I'm like, oh, I just bought this off Shein last week.
Yeah, but you shouldn't buy stuff from Shein.
And I'm not.
Shein is really bad.
It is. Really
it's really bad.
Bad,
and we know that. We know that. Marnie and Desi's music being folk indie. Do you think it would be something so much different now?
I do. I don't know what it would be, but I think it would be. It wouldn't be folk. It would be more pop.
Mm. I fear it might be a little Charlie XCX.
Right, but you haven't seen Straight Guy and Straight Girl do that yet.
Yeah, which maybe they could true. Have a... I they wouldn't, but maybe they could put a spin on it. Of some kind.
I actually think it'd still be indie.
It would still be really indie. I just think it would be like they Pine would be Grove. Trying to figure out what would go viral and just get missing the mark.
Yeah, they'd be really bad at TikTok, but really thinking it'll change everything.
Well, that's what I was thinking. So they would never have that meeting today because you need at least like 20K on TikTok in order to even talk to a record label. And if they not would not be able to manage that.
I feel like Marnie's personality wouldn't do well online.
No, but she might go viral for people not liking her.
Her apology video would go viral.
Definitely.
Yeah, she'd have that thing
for
where
all
like,
the wrong reasons.
All the yeah. wrong reasons.
She'd be calling YouTube.
She'd be that A, B, C, D, E, F, G girl.
Yeah.
Whatever her name is.
Oh, when she got caught.
That everyone hates her.
Oh, because it was like manufactured. Yeah. Yeah, I did see that.
I think that's honestly impressive and good marketing degrees.
But cover your tracks. Come on, guys. Create a burner account. Don't have it from the record label, girl.
Make it
so easy to track.
I love her.
Miss her. I hope she comes out with a numbers song, 1 through 9.
that's the last note of the podcast. But love for that girl to come with a number song.
No, yeah, cops different now. I feel like.
Are they?
Do you think? I feel like Ray would be like into it and be like, "I'm glad you got arrested."
I think Ray is like a libertarian.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So take from that what you will. But I think he would be like really, really educated. So arguing with him would be kind of frustrating because he mm-hmm. would make good points, but that were ultimately like he doesn't see the humanity enough.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's the problem with like the REI picket line.
Yeah.
That's where I can mostly see.
REI picket
line. Yeah. I feel like he'd find himself there.
Yeah. And we could learn. We still learn from those people. But
100%.
We don't agree with them.
Yeah, you're so wild. I can't get over how wild. It won't stop. It won't.
But I
end.
Could be wrong. What if I'm just? What if everything I'm saying is wrong?
No,
but
you're
you
right.
say it so confidently, so it has to be right.
I know. I'm like, half you could battle. Just be spewing lies, and I'd be like, I'm gonna keep that in mind every day forever.
Well, I am 32. Like I've lived.
Right. You know so. More than us for sure.
I know stuff about stuff. I don't know everything, but I like what I know so far. Oh, I'm enjoying wow. these. Like I'm enjoying the experience, but I'm always learning. I'm not that smart like academically, so I'm just like cool.
You are.
Mm.
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Let's just say I wouldn't volunteer to take the SAT anytime soon.
No, I mean, and I did leave the ACT in the middle crying because it was too much pressure.
It's a lot of pressure.
I was like, I can't. And then I had to move to Canada to like avoid test scores because they don't care about
the country. Okay, where'd you go, McGill?
Ryerson in Toronto.
Okay. I only know McGill.
Yeah, I know. And nobody ever knows. Ryerson actually renamed itself.
That's cool.
Yeah.
They chose a new name. So what? Don't dead name them. Don't tell me what it used to be called.
Sorry. I went to Toronto Metropolitan. It's amazing there. I was sad for 4 years and then had to leave. Recommend it to anybody looking for that.
And then that's where we end the podcast.
And that's where we end the podcast. Mary Beth,
thank you so much
been
for
heaven
being
on
on.
My pleasure.
I feel like we've both been shy because we're literally starstruck.
Stop.
You're like one of the original brunettes in this town.
And no one gives me credit for that. So thank you for putting that on the record. No, it's crazy.
Everybody's saying it.
And I felt empowered by the four brunettes that stand before us.
Yeah.
You know?
Wait, but Marnie's blonde this episode for some unknown reason.
Yeah. You know, hair continuity, it's not that important in shows. I realize when I watch the Kardashians. Right. It doesn't need to be sequential. Like, no one ever said life was linear.
Right.
No one ever said life was linear.
Actually, people are constantly arguing the opposite, so... guys, oh. Everybody see Mary Beth at the Bell House in January.
January 26th.
We'll be back.
27th, even. 20, no, don't come on the 26th. I will not be there.
I'll be there.
You know, I went on a, when anything. I first moved to New York City, I went to a first date at your show, and it was like, it was like early post-COVID era.
What show?
It was like your 1 hour work in progress.
Oh my God. That was probably really bad.
Loved it.
Okay, good.
You had this sweetest little video of you as a young girl. And I was like, everything's going to be magical in this town.
and I hope it has been.
And it has been.
Wait, did you get to a second date with the guy?
No, but we did have, he was obsessed with you.
Oh, interesting.
Which like, he's never seen a comedy show. Like, he doesn't know anything. And I was just like, oh, you want to go to this show at this bar? And then we did watch like a very specific hour of comedy.
Yeah, very unpolished. Well, I hate to think what he now is a fan of. Comedy wise, because sometimes you see like men are just so easily swayed. I'm like, who's he watching on YouTube?
Right.
That's chicken.
There's no way to contact him, but we had an amazing time. It was a 7 hour day, and then I never saw him again.
Really?
And honey, that's New York.
And that's New York City.
Beautiful. Now that's where we're at the podcast.
Bye. We'll be back next week with episode 4. Love you.